This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll get back into the Caps in just about 20 minutes. We'll test the fan base, see how they're feeling heading into round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They take on the Carolina Hurricanes, who are favored against the Caps in that series.
Interesting.
So we'll have to see how that plays out. We'll get you involved at around 820, 825. But right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome in Frank Caliendo. He'll be at the DC Improv in just a few weeks, May 20th and 21st. He'll be performing there, but he's joining us now. And it's been a while since we've talked to Frank. Good morning, Frank. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. I started out like Mel Kiper Jr. I'm doing all right. It's been a while since we talked. What's going on with Shador Sanders? What's happening, guys? What's going on? Shador Sanders keeps dropping. I don't understand. The NFL doesn't know anything about drafting quarterbacks. For 50 years, the NFL doesn't know anything about drafting. Todd, he's not with the show anymore. Todd, I just yell for Todd. Even though I'm doing the ghost of Todd. You ever see the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future? And the Christmas past, they don't even know how to draft quarterback. Christmas present, they didn't draft Shador Sanders. Christmas future, going to be an NFL Hall of Famer. Hard-pressed to tell me otherwise.
Wow. So great.
That was really good.
Finally,
really.
It's been a long time. I was trying to think about that the other day when I called Matt because of course, whenever a comedian goes to a city, they have to call a radio station,
right?
But you guys are honestly, if not my favorite show to be on, right up there, one or two. But I'm going to say one for today. I realize that
I like it.
We were reminiscing about.
I'm already going Gruden on you. I tell you what, man, I would unbox a million boxes to get to you guys, man. That's how much I love the junks. I opened up a box inside of a box inside of a box. It was like Leonardo DiCaprio in Inception, man. That's tough. The cradle's spinning.
Become an unboxing slut on online. Is all I know. A lot of unboxing by Gruden. So many big cardboard boxes into his office.
I know, it's wild that's kind of become a thing. Yeah, I know. Talking about it. Hold on, real quick, Frank. You've been doing this for so long. You're so good at it. You got to be so rich by now. You still love it?
Well, here's the deal, guys. There were 5 or 6 years, maybe 10 years, probably about 3 or 4 years where I didn't work much at all because I didn't want to, because I didn't love it. So I was out for a while. Yeah, I just was like
burned out.
I'd go out and I'd do a bunch of court. Yeah, I think so. I think that was part of it. I did a bunch of, I was doing corporate shows, or I still do corporate shows, and those are their own kind of fun, but they're tougher. And I wasn't creating a lot of new stuff. I didn't have different things. I was kind of just doing the same act over and over and over. So it got to the point where I wasn't having much fun. So I kind of dreaded working. And now what I've been doing, actually going out on the road right now, is doing a lot of new writing and improvising on stage on top of that writing. So yes, I do like it. I would say I even love it right now. And I didn't like to be away from my kids much because my kids were, growing up and in the house, and they were dependent on me, and lots of anxiety issues in our house and stuff like that, probably caused by me. But just to be there for the family was really good. And now my mother-in-law is living at our house, and as much as it seems like a hacky joke, I just can't wait to get out on the road every single time. I mean, it might be the greatest thing for my comedy career, to get back out there, is the fact that my wife has her mom at our house. And I would rather be on the road.
Frank, we were reminiscing about your coaching days And then you had like some big tall kid, then we've forgotten who it was. And one of the guys was like, did he coach Chet Holmgren? And I was like, no, it wasn't Chet Holmgren, but who did you coach?
Porzingis.
Chris Stapps.
Yeah, he made his way through here a few years back. Impressive work by you.
I'll tell you what, the kid is actually playing right now, and he's there's been some health things among some other stuff. Like, give me a year, and I'll see. Because he's 7-1 now.
All right, you don't want to talk about it. I get it.
Yeah. I just the kids own for the kids own good. I'd rather not right now.
But right.
He's, we'll see. In this year might be a potential. I'll call and say, told you.
So.
Hey, but Frank, he grew to 7-1. That's amazing.
Frank, have you ever been like you or your agent ever been contacted to just do a sitcom on network television?
Yeah, I've had I didn't do the pilot. I was like, what's the word? Contracted for a pilot, but we wrote the pilot and stuff. They wanted to do it, but it was with a network, and they changed it so much, and they wanted to shoot it, and I was like, it was about my life, and I'm like, I don't like this. Like, I don't.
Oh, so you were gonna play
this.
You were gonna play yourself.
Yeah, it was going to be me playing myself or a version of me. And they kept doing little things to change it. Like, they're like, you can write anything you want. And I got with a writer and we wrote it all. And I really liked it. And then they kept going over the next 6 months. Can you change this? Can you change this? To the point where it wasn't the same pilot anymore. I was like, well, I don't even like this anymore. And right. Now you want to change things out. And then they wanted to shoot it like 2 weeks later. There must have been, you know, somebody that was going to get fired or something, and they liked the project. But it was like, I don't want to do this. It was like last second, let's hurry up and get it done and shoot it. I was like, it doesn't feel like it's the project I started on. So right. No.
So and you, then so you the told them no. I got you.
Yeah, and a lot of people got mad at me, actually. But who knows if it's going to, work at all.
How long ago was that?
It was actually when I was coaching flag football. So, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, eight years ago. Yeah.
Joined by Frank Caliendo, comedian, who's going to be at the DC Improv May 20th and May 21st. You kind of talked about how you got burnt out there for a little while. And I know you had told us in the past, sometimes you would write an act, but in the middle, people will just start saying, do Gruden, do Madden, do Morgan Freeman. I remember when I went to see you in West Virginia, you kind of opened it up to people to throw things out. Like, do you still deal with that?
Yeah. I mean, I was in Minneapolis last night. Nobody did. 2 nights ago, I hadn't done any Madden for 30 minutes. And yeah, I started hearing a guy, Madden, right? You came to see Madden. I finally did some, and I do it because there's some topicality to it. There's a movie coming out about John Madden, so I brought up that, and they asked me to audition for that movie to play Howard Cosell, which I think was the dumbest thing. What? You want me to play Howard Cosell in the Madden movie? Here's a guy who looks like an idiot. What are you talking about? So, if that wouldn't be distracting, I don't know what would be. But I wouldn't get that part anyways. I don't do a good Howard. Like, this is Howard Cosell. That's all I could really do. So I wasn't really even thinking I was going to get it, but I was like, this is dumb. So, I do open it up at the end of the show and let people for the last, 10 minutes throw things out there. But the thing is, I cushion it with this. I say, I'm more of a magician than a wizard. So I can't just do any impression in the world. It has to be something that I've worked on a lot. Like, a magician works on tricks to be able to pull it off. A wizard just conjures up, spirits or something like that. It has a potion. Right. So, and people still will yell out things that I go, if you've never seen me do it, I probably can. And then people are asking for crazy stuff. Dude, Kamala, I can't.
Right.
I can laugh a little bit. I don't know.
How often do you come up with new characters?
Every once in a while. I mean, if it hits me, I they're constantly impressions that I'm doing little by little. So like, are they good enough to get in to a show? I'm not sure. I finally added Owen Wilson into the show, and that's, you know, it's just because I was, it's a joke about agreeing so much, and I'm like, yeah, like that's really, really great. What a great idea. What a tremendous, you're doing such a great job. It's really, really good. So, yeah, there's little ones like that, and then there's some that I just don't have anything for. For example, I can do a, you guys have seen Better Call Saul, right?
Sure. So,
all I can do is, did you know that you have rights? The Constitution says you do. Hi, I'm Saul Goodman. So I can do that, and I can do his laugh. But I can't really work it into a bit because those are the only words I can say. It would be very vaudevillian. Maybe that's the bit, is just find a way to force those lines into my show.
Is the mother-in-law in the act now, and does she get upset?
Well, I like having half my stuff. So no. But eventually it might eventually work its way in. Just some of the stuff that happens. Like, I would love to do a sitcom about it. I think that would be worth my marriage. But she'll do things like, she'll make cookies, and she's like, they're healthy cookies. I'm like, well, what? How are they healthy cookies? Well, I only used half the sugar, half the butter, and half the flour. You made half the cookies. That's what you did. They're not healthy cookies. There's nothing healthy about them. They're just half a batch. That's what that is.
That is actually brilliant. Very true.
It's not brilliant. It's the life I live. It's the life.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Are you still living in Arizona?
Yeah, I live in Tempe. Both kids go to Arizona State, so.
Oh, wow.
Nice in-state tuition. You love that.
Yeah, that's the thing. In Arizona, if your kids are as incredibly intelligent as mine are, if you have like above a 3.75 in high school, you go to school for basically half tuition.
Oh, wow.
So, and maybe even a little bit less. And there are some schools like Northern Arizona that you can go to tuition free if you do well in high school. It's just the way they reinvest, you know, keep investment in the state. So, yeah, both kids go there. They're at the business school and doing great. My son's almost done. My son is, he's almost 21. My daughter's a freshman there. So
your son's graduating in this month?
He graduates next semester.
Oh, okay.
So he's got one more semester. He'll graduate early by one semester. He didn't want to go further, or, you know, earlier than that. So,
wow.
But he's even young, so he's not even 21 yet, and he's almost done. But he's already helping my brother-in-law run a company. He's way smarter than me. I wish I had the intelligence of either of my kids, which must come from my wife's side, but skipped a couple generations.
Did you enjoy is you and the wife more alone time? You and the wife more? How did that work out?
Well, no.
The mother-in-law now.
Well, I know the mother-in-law, but still.
No, I almost went, that was almost the guy forgetting. No, that's not happening. You know why? Because Shador Sanders wasn't drafted.
right.
Yeah, no, it's like having Arthur from King of Queens around all the time, and he doesn't live in the basement.
right. All right, so when are you going to be in D.C.?
I'm going to be there in a few weeks. I'm going to be there the 21st and 22nd. It's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And I've already invited myself in to hang out with you guys and do awesome things.
That's right. Perfect.
He's going to be in for like an hour.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Right, that's what I heard. Perfect. Can't wait.
It's going to be an hour. We're going to do an unboxing. Get a box ready, guys.
We'll definitely do that.
We're going to get to the creamy center of the Cadbury egg, man. That's what we're going to do. You ever see that Cadbury bunny? He says bark bark like he's a bunny, man. I tell you what, he's like a chicken bunny. Now look out for that guy. It's gonna scare you.
That guy.
All right, Frank.
We look forward to seeing you, bro.
Yeah, frankonstage.com will get you the information for the tickets, and also DC Improv. I think it's probably dcimprov.com, but I know for sure frankonstage.com gets you there.
Very all good, right, man. Perfect. We'll see you in person in just a few weeks. It's Frank Caliendo.
Thank you, buddy.
He'll be in.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
DC. Yeah, of course. He'll be in DC in just a few weeks. So go to frankonstage.com. DCImprov.com as well. Caps fans, you should call in now at 800-636-1067. Coming off this win against the Canadiens to advance, how are you feeling taking on the favorite Carolina Hurricanes?
Scared.
I feel like it's a little slap in the face.
Scared.
Caps are the one seed. The Carolina Hurricanes are the two seed, but Vegas likes
pretty hefty
Carolina
favorite
in this matchup. 800-636-1067. We'll get your pulse on that upcoming series next. Coming up at the end of this segment, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Cypress Hill and Atmosphere. They'll be at Pier 6 Pavilion Friday, August 15th. So keep listening for your chance to win. Look, I love our listeners, but they are such trained dogs that when I just teased the cap segment around the same time when we've given away Caps tickets in the past week, week and a half to the first round series, they automatically thought that when I just simply asked them, what's your confidence level heading into Caps Hurricanes?
We were giving away tickets.
Yeah, a billion people call in, not to talk about Caps Hurricanes. They thought I was actually just prompting them to call in for a ticket giveaway.
Gotcha.
We don't even know when game one is. It's not even on the schedule yet. Even if we had tickets to give away, that game's not even on the slate yet.
Right.
So all of you prize pigs, just calm down. Keep it in your pants. Relax a little bit. Hopefully we'll have tickets for that series to give away. I don't know that at this point. But we had a lot of tickets to give away during the Canadiens series. Hopefully it happens for the Hurricane series.
I'm sure it will.
But we were just trying to talk Caps. That's all.
Yeah, and we want you to call. So don't just call in and be greedy.
Talk to us about the series.
Call in and contribute. Are you, first of all, I'm nervous, but I'm nervous for every, like, they just played the 8th seed, right?
Yeah.
I was nervous. Yeah. Every game, I was I was confident, also nervous.
I just think playoff hockey in general, like every game.
It's the nature of hockey.
It's stressful. Playoff hockey is stressful.
So it's not, and also just hockey, just the you know, we talk about it every year, the bounce of the puck, the puck luck.
Yeah.
You know, you get out of position, you get a penalty here, whatever.
A weird bounce off the boards could come out in front of your goalie.
Yeah, and you could be on the wrong side of it, and you could lose a game, to steal a game.
And then overtime hockey in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's legitimately terrifying.
Your heart's beating a million times a minute. It's really terrifying because it moves so fast.
Mm-hmm. I don't even understand why we're playing the two. Are they the two seed, you said? Why are we playing the two seed in the second round?
That's just the way that.
Why do they even do that?
Years back,
I know they used to reshuffle, right?
They used to rejigger the seeds and the top seed would then face the lowest remaining seed. That's not the case anymore.
Right.
It's just the way the bracket is set up. They're going to face the two seed.
It seems
Carolina.
Crazy. This seems to me from afar as a know nothing regarding hockey.
Right.
And a lot of things, but certainly hockey. This seems like a very challenging series.
They technically don't do the 1 versus 8. They do two different brackets, 1 through 4. So the fact that the Caps are in the same bracket as the Hurricanes, they were playing the 3 seed, which is the Devils. So the winner of that would play the winner of the 1 versus 4. So that's why they're playing the 2 seed.
If you want to chime in, 800-636.
So they don't do 1-8-2-7.
1067 is the number. So you can chime in on Open Line Thursday. This is something we didn't get to yesterday, just to shift topics for a moment. Is Buzz Peterson going to be silly at Maryland? Did you see they landed this McDonald's All-American kid?
Buzz Williams, right?
Buzz Williams.
What did I call him?
Buzz Peterson.
Buzz Williams.
Former North Carolina.
Darius Adams, who was a McDonald's All-American, he's brought in all these guys. I'm starting to get a vibe like he's going to be a home run hire.
He's a great hire. He might not play a style of basketball that people love, but he's a great coach. That's a proven fact.
He's been a winner he's been.
Yep. Yeah.
But he's never been to a Final Four, right? Or has he?
I don't believe he's been to a Final Four.
Elite Eight, I think. Yeah. Which is bad.
I think he's a great coach.
When he was with
Marquette. I think he's an upgrade. I think Maryland actually did better.
But I'm starting to think that.
Yeah.
This kid apparently was a 5-star McDonald's All-American. And, you know, I don't know these guys that are all these transfers. I mean, the whole team's going to be transfers. The whole team's going to be new. You're not going to know any of these guys. But their resumes seem like they're pretty good.
By the way, I can't believe what Rodney Rice got at USC.
Yeah.
How much did he get?
I mean, can we talk
$3 million,
about it?
$3 million, I think.
Well, I was told off the record, not even off the record, but behind the scenes, $3 million, but JP said it had already been reported in the last few days.
That is absurd. He's basically getting paid what I mean, didn't Nick Dowd just sign a 2-year, $6 million extension?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's making what Nick Dowd is going to make.
Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty insane.
Am I wrong?
And Rodney Rice was a really good high school player, yeah. obviously, yeah. and went to Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Had a thumb injury, but basically left Virginia Tech because he couldn't crack the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He thought I was going to be an He goes, I'm going to be an instant starter.
Yep.
Now, he had an injury, but even when he was healthy, he couldn't crack the starting lineup. He was coming off the bench. He said, I'm done. I'm transferring.
Yeah, it's reported. Here's the story. This is, it says, the Tennessee Vols and head coach Rick Barnes are recalibrating. Hey, that's what Dan Quinn did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It said, shooting guard Rodney Rice, a standout from Maryland, had decided to not head to Knoxville, but instead committed to USC, reportedly lured by a staggering $3 million NIL deal.
Right. Yeah.
How can you turn that down?
So they had already gotten Jacoby Gillespie.
He's like a 21-year-old kid,
hold on.
Right? Like,
am I crazy? Didn't they initially announce he was staying at Maryland? I never heard that.
Publicly said he was staying.
Okay.
Unless you saw that somewhere.
I thought I saw like an Instagram, you know, post of something, and he's like, I'm back or something.
Well, Terps fans, just get used to the names Elijah Saunders, Isaiah Watts, George Turkson, Andre Mills. You know, these are kids you've never heard of unless you followed these teams that they were transferring in from. One came from Virginia, so I'm sure that the Virginia fans know who he is. David Colt or Coit, Miles Rice, Solomon Washington. All right, these are the new Terps.
Mm-hmm.
For next year.
Yeah.
Because the
names.
Following year, it's going to probably be a bunch of new guys, yeah, yeah. too.
For El Payne. I mean, just kids you know, you're just not
every
used to
every year, it's going
to
be a new crop.
It's harder to follow.
It's very hard to follow.
It's nuts.
So it just depends. Like, I'll be honest with you, you got to win. If you win, I'll follow. That's it where I am in my life. You win, I'll follow. You lose, I don't have time for it. Just, I'll do something else. I'm not going to invest my time.
That's how most people are.
Got to be winners.
You got to be a winner.
I hear you. Winning's more fun than
winning's
losing.
More fun. I don't have time to just sit there and grind out losses. I'm not interested.
I mean, when you're bringing all these new players in who've never, I mean, well, some of them have played with each other because a lot of them are coming from A&M, so they played with each other. But when you're bringing all these new players who've never played with each other and just trying to work the chemistry out, and then you're bringing some freshmen, high school seniors.
That's where I do think
it's crazy
that mid-majors still have a somewhat of a chance because they're not going to have the talent, but they will have the returning starters, presumably, and the experience. So I know that they were blanked in this tournament, like as far as doing anything.
But they're not going to have the starters that were good because those guys are bouncing for more money.
Yeah.
I
still think there's something to be said for team basketball and playing together for 4 or 5 years.
Well, you can still be competitive. You can think that, but I'm going to bet on the teams that have deep pockets and that can buy the best players.
That's true. But every year when you have to start over from scratch, you have an advantage in talent. There's no doubt.
Did you see the reported payroll for the University of Texas this season?
I did see it.
The football?
Football team. I think payroll. It's between $35 and $40 million.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
They got a $40 million payroll.
They're now legitimately a professional athlete in college.
Yes. Yeah, it's no longer...
At a Power Five.
They're no longer amateurs.
Like yeah.
I mean, these are...
I mean, what's Arch Manning getting? Was he getting about $8 million of that? $6 to $8 million?
I don't know. He's getting
I've not seen like a breakdown like on Spot Rack like we do for
Well, that's coming.
Professional
You're going to start
sports.
Seeing that.
What is the entire Washington Capitals payroll?
I mean, I don't know. Probably $85 or $90 million.
So now you got a college football team that the payroll is approaching professional, football or professional hockey payrolls. It's crazy, and so some of these basketball teams. Well, if USC is giving $3 million to Rice, he's a nice player. He's not great.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay. He's good. Is he an NBA player? Maybe.
Washington.
I would doubt it.
Washington's, yeah, he's fringe.
I mean.
Cap commitments for 2025 it's right at $100 million.
Okay. $100 million. So you're not quite to a professional hockey franchise.
But you're getting close to half that number. It's a pretty big number.
It's probably bigger than most MLS.
Well, how about this?
Payrolls.
Oh, yeah.
Messi gets paid.
The Miami Marlins 2025 payroll is only $70 million.
Right.
they're almost touching a professional mm-hmm. baseball roster's payroll.
That plays 162 games.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's crazy.
I think we all agree. I don't begrudge the athletes. I'm happy for them guys, and their families. I think it's great.
It's been a long time coming but for those guys to get paid.
It's got to be a way to make it a little bit less chaotic.
Hey, maybe the Texas Athletic Department should have been on the side of one of their highways yesterday. Did you see that a truck overturned and spilled its load on the highway? $800,000 worth of dimes.
Oh really?
$800,000 in dimes.
Would you have gone scrambling?
Well, there's a pic of a cop pick him up by hand.
Yeah.
They had special like vacuum cleaners to suck up all the dimes and put them back in the truck.
All right, let's make out some of these calls. 800-636-1067. If obviously you could chime in on whatever you want. In particular, I think we're geeked up. And can you play Bands and Make a Dance, please? Do we have that nearby? It's gotta be our new theme song. Right, it's obviously been out there for a few months now. We need some sort of theme song. Let's jump on this. Let's get fired up. Let's go to Jim, Bethesda. Jim, what's up?
Hey, Junk. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Big thought here is we need more on the power play.
Yeah.
If they're going to stretch to Ovechkin, we got to make them pay down low or on the others.
Well, I will say it wasn't the power play. But as we talked about, and as obviously as the announcers, as Joe B. and Locker mentioned yesterday, the goal off the faceoff by Ovi and Stromer there was mm-hmm. unreal. Literally picture perfect.
That was a power play goal.
That was on a power
yeah.
play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
They were two for three.
Perfect.
Now, their power play still has warts. I'm not going to say it doesn't, but they mm-hmm. were 2 for 3 on it yesterday. So that was a big improvement because they were 1 for 10. In games 1 through 4.
But they may have even scored on this particular one. Actually, I don't think they did. I think the one they didn't were even Locker mentioned mm-hmm. in the middle of it. They've had like puck possession in their zone like for 20 seconds.
Right.
Hmm. This has been a disaster.
Carolina,
that's been happening too many times.
Yeah.
Carolina finished the regular season 25th in power play percentage, so near the bottom.
So their power play struggles too.
Their power play struggles. Good. But let me look at penalty kill.
Yeah, look at their kill. See if
did
they're
our
like,
struggle on the year?
They were a little bit higher than that.
It was kind of a roller coaster ride. I believe they started slow, and then like in the middle of the season, it picked up, and then toward the end of the season, it was kind of a dud.
They finished 13th.
Right.
So that's upper
decent,
half.
Decent.
Yeah.
Decent.
But let me try and get the penalty kill numbers.
So I think this is. So, obviously, after we saw that goal, okay, you say it was on a power play.
Correct.
But there are draws all the time that are, you know, just in regular, in the flow. Is there enough time, if they wanted, where they could just trot out OV every time there's a freaking draw in their zone?
I think they tried it. I think they already tried to do that because they know he's such a weapon.
Because I remember there was one, and he was still on the bench. And I was like, do they... you know, I don't know. I don't follow it that closely,
Carbs,
but now...
Carbs and his staff... They, on faceoffs, especially near the other team's goal, they want Ovi in there as many times as they can.
So they I'm do sure make that, an effort because there's sure a stoppage usually. Guys skate around for a little bit as they blow the whistle, whatever.
Yeah. During regular season, by the way, the Carolina Hurricanes penalty kill ranked numero uno.
Oh.
83%.
Wow.
Who, Carolina's?
Yes.
They're best in the league.
That's... not a great matchup. I'm not an analytics expert, as you guys know, but I know that probably doesn't bode well for the Capitals.
That's tough.
With a spotty power play during the first round against Montreal.
You're getting a little anxiety. You're getting a little rumbly and a tumbly right now when you see that.
I don't love that. I don't love that they were the best in the league. Not feeling maybe, great about it.
But it's, you know what I do love? I do love being an underdog, especially if you feel like you're being disrespected.
Oh, I feel like there's disrespect happening.
Yeah.
I do feel like the Capitals are being disrespected.
They should have an edge, right? Because it's,
well, I feel like they're the one seed. They should be the favorite heading into this series. With right. home ice,
but
I don't understand why they're such an underdog
but
at this point.
Well, because their opponent, obviously, very, very good. But this is better situation. I'd rather be the dog in a situation where you think you're actually even better, right? It's a perfect scenario. But everyone else is picking them.
Right.
But you actually think you're better. Like, it's not even like
I kind of know that the Capitals are better, top right. to bottom.
Right. So... They're in a perfect situation.
That doesn't mean they're guaranteed to win the series, but right. I just feel like they're the better constructed team
so
at this point.
Their numbers, perfect situation. Their numbers are pretty similar when you look at goals against, mm-hmm. save percentage, not the penalty kill.
Right.
Because Washington's not number one in the league, but offensively, their numbers are pretty similar. So it's,
Capitals, by the way, no slouches. They were fifth in the league at
penalty kill?
At the PK.
All right.
So they're both very good at killing off penalties.
But it sounds like when we were talking to Neil, the way he was talking about the series, it sounded like he thought it was going to be kind of a shootout.
Feels like it's going to be shoo.
Well, because they score a ton.
They score a ton, yeah. I'm putting Logan, I'm putting LT above their guy. Whatever that Russian's name is.
Goals per game, 3.5. I'll round it up for the Caps. Second in the league behind only Tampa. And Carolina, 3.24 goals per game.
Yeah, pretty much a toss-up.
So Caps have a decided edge in, I mean, a quarter of a goal more per game.
So say the number again, the two numbers?
Caps at 3.5 goals per game in the regular season.
Yeah.
Carolina, 3.25.
That does seem like a somewhat significant difference, actually. I mean,
over 82 games.
That kind of does, especially when you're talking about such low numbers.
Correct.
Right? 3.5 to 3.25.
It's a big gap.
Where is that in ranking?
Caps rank second. The Hurricanes look like they're...
13 or something?
You know, ninth.
Look,
ninth
it's going to be a war. What Greenberg alluded to was the amount of shots that they fire. I'm just looking at the playoffs. Yeah. So forget about the regular season. In the playoffs, both these teams won their series 4-1.
Yeah.
Carolina puts up 36.6 shots per game compared to Washington's 27.8. Now, that's a sizable difference. So that's just their style of play. They're going to throw the puck at the goal all the time.
You know what? Carolina's got a Nubs power play, 18%.
Yeah. I mean,
they're Nubs on the power play.
They're like 25th in the league.
Yeah, but we were what, 13th, you said?
Yeah.
I'd rather be 13th than 25th.
I know, but it ain't that great a difference.
It's 12 spots.
I thought you said 13th and they're 18th.
No, they're 25th.
On the power play, Carolina is 25th and the Caps are 13th.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, okay.
Advantage.
Yeah.
Capitals.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
But they are number one in the league at killing it.
That is correct. All right, I told you Prize Pigs to keep listening, and now it's going to pay off for you. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You're going to get two tickets to Cypress Hill and Atmosphere, Dank Days of Summer Tour, Friday, August 15th at Pier 6 Pavilion. Tickets are on sale now. For ticks and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. But 10th caller at 800-636-1067. Wins now. Coming up before the show is done, we're going to give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Nats take on the Cardinals on May 9th. Not only do you win the tickets to Nats Cards, you also get to watch our friends OAR perform in the post-game concert as part of your ticket. So that's a great double dip. So we'll give those away before the show is over. So you have to keep listening for your opportunity to win.
By the way, at a small life tilt yesterday.
Okay, yes.
I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Mm-hmm. I get home and I look in the recycling. It's really a trash can.
Yeah.
I don't have a bin. I've got a full trash can, a green trash can, is still full with the recycle stuff.
Okay.
And usually they do it in the morning. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And then I see there's a sticker attached to it.
Uh-oh.
Have you ever gotten one of those stickers?
I have. When my recycling bin was getting old and beat up, they were like, we have to replace this one because this one looks nubs. But
that's a positive.
Yeah.
This one was, we're not taking your recycling because you made a mistake. Oh. I had a plastic bag in there.
Oh, man.
Now I have a full recycle bin, and I got to wait all the way till next week.
Now, see, to me, that's all they have to do is reach in, dump out whatever, and throw the plastic bag in with your bin, like...
I kind of know it's a no-no, and I guess I just spaced it. You're not supposed to have plastic bags. Or, for example, if you have a case of water bottles,
mm-hmm.
And you take all the water bottles out, and you put them in the refrigerator, and now you've got the cardboard underneath, and you've got that plastic. You can't just dump that in the recycling bin.
The cardboard goes in. The plastic would go in the trash.
Right.
That's the correct.
But if you have a plastic water bottle, that goes in the recycling.
Everybody knows that. Yeah. That's common sense.
Anyway, Tilt City, you know what I'm going to do, EB? F those recyclers. I'm going to take half of my recycle trash can, and I'm going to put it into regular trash, yeah, and it's going to regular trash.
Yeah, it's fine.
What are you doing?
You know what? You're, that one bag of recycling is not going to save the planet. It's not going to save the planet. Yeah. Okay, you're fine.
You don't even want to know my thoughts on it. So, yeah, believe me. I don't pay much attention to all that stuff.
Who brings the trash out of your house?
Me.
I generally do that, yeah.
That's the one thing where it's not even manly, but it's the one thing that I actually do that my wife will like say, like, did you take the trash out yet? Like, that's the one thing she basically demands.
Because she shovels your snow and has mowed your lawn.
Well, no, I have a lawn. I've been paying for lawn service for 20 years.
I remember one time you saying, like, I believe she mowed your lawn.
No, I used to like to mow the lawn. I don't think she's ever mowed the lawn.
Okay.
But she does. She likes the shovel. You have to remember that.
She likes it.
You could text her yourself. She said she actually likes it. I don't know why.
Is it because it gives? It's like a form of exercise.
I think it's a good form of exercise. And she's one of these people, kind of like maybe Jason or whatever. They're just kind of anal about certain things, and she likes it her driveway to be clean. And it makes her feel good that her driveway's clean.
Yeah.
I could care less. I would drive over a dead body.
You don't care about it. You would just drive right over the snow.
Yeah, it's so dumb. I never see the driveway. I'm inside my house. Mm-hmm. Who cares if it's clean or not? I couldn't care less.
So. Yeah, but I just have a hard time believing anybody actually likes
shoveling.
Grabbing a
She's
shovel.
Actually said to me the phrase, I actually like doing it.
Okay. I'll take
on
her
on multiple word. Occasions. I don't know. To me, it's bizarre too, Casey.
So you're giving her what she wants. Yeah, you're actually being a great husband.
She doesn't even ask.
I do it, but I will go on record. I don't like shoveling the driveway.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like it.
Most people don't. I'm guessing 90% of people don't.
I think you're right. I think it's a higher number than that.
I don't like taking out the trash. It's the one thing I do.
It only takes five seconds.
You know why I don't like it? It takes two trips.
Why does it take two?
You have two cans?
I have like two cans and I have too many recycling thingies. There's like two or three things in. But I mean, it's like.
So is recycling and trash the same day for you?
Yes.
So we have two separate days.
And it's always. So now bringing it back, I could throw everything sort of in one large one and bring it all in one trip when they're empty. But when they're full, it's a two tripper.
Does your trash come more than once a week? See, I've got trash Tuesdays, Fridays, recycle Wednesday.
Here's where I don't like double trips. Bringing in groceries from the car into the house. I will do whatever it takes within reason to get it all in one trip.
Oh, 100%.
I do not want, the only real exception is if we've bought a bunch of 12 packs of soda. Because, I mean, I can't bring in two or three 12 packs of soda. Six grocery bags all at once. Okay, I'm not Hulk Hogan in his prime. Okay,
break your fingers.
I have limits.
Yeah,
but if it's like 10 or 12 bags of groceries, I'm bringing those bitches all in one.
Oh, me too.
One trip.
I could have a fistful of 20 bags.
I could literally cut off the circulation to my hand to the point where it would need to be amputated because I've strangled my fingers with all the plastic to avoid a second trip.
Right.
I don't want to do two trips. I want to do one trip.
Right.
One and one only.
I'm with you.
I could have 15 Harris Teeter bags that weigh 300 pounds.
You don't want to go back to the car.
I don't want to go back to the car.
Yeah.
All right, here's the deal, Shakes. We don't have much time here. I got a lot of good stories. Valdez is super excited about playing this audio of Jeremy Renner.
One of my favorite actors ever.
He's a very good actor.
You want to do that here?
I can't believe you've all slept.
Stories here.
I can't believe you have slept on Mayor of Kingstown. Can't believe you slept on Mayor of Kingstown. Can't believe you slept on it.
Let's do the Renner.
Which network
do the Renner now?
Paramount.
I don't do Paramount. That's like the one I pay for Apple TV.
Play the music,
there's so many good effing shows on Paramount.
Entertainment Page is driven by BMW Fairfax. DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for my girl Miriam. She's the general manager. Of course, you can check out their entire selection at BMWFairfax.com. So, Jeremy Renner, most people, probably know that a few years ago he got in this sort of tragic accident. I think he was on some large, like, thing. I don't know if he was moving snow or something on his property.
Like a bobcat.
I thought it was like an ATV.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
No, it was a bobcat. Yeah, it's a bobcat.
It was big.
And by the way, you could see it, and you could see it in his body when you watch him.
Right.
And Mayor Kingsley, he looked like a totally different person.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the injuries.
Well, he's lucky to be alive.
Of course.
So he got basically run over by this big thing, and I guess he recounted some of the details when he recently did the Joe Rogan podcast.
I felt all the injury. The first one was the worst, like the pressure and skull crush and all that stuff. And then it releases because then the undulation of the tire and the track. And you're awake for that. Just like by the sixth undulation, just like, all right, just kind of finish already. And you're just like, the most like, you know, you're like you're drowning and being struck by lightning and bleeding out. It's all the things all at once, man. It's like immense pressure and a movable object. And, you know, my skull kind of lost out but still survived. And
your skull got run over.
Yeah. It's like, it's like, you know, yeah, it's everything. It's like it's 38 broken bones and eyeballs out.
Oh, my God.
And it's...
Shout out to medical science.
I know, right?
I mean,
all the doctors were like, dude, I don't know how your eyes still operating or still working, but I think because I was on ice, because I did see it, and I'm like, well, maybe I'm going to put this eye on ice and just kind of rolled into it. Because I saw my eye with my other eye, right? And I'm like, well, I'm going to be able to keep that thing, because I'm on like an icy asphalt driveway that's off of my driveway, right? The top of the road. So, it wasn't really great for impact or getting ran over. I wish I was on a snowpack. It would have been maybe a little bit easier. It would push me into snow, right? But it wasn't. So I just kind of rolled onto it, just like maybe I could kind of put the eye on ice until I could figure out how to breathe.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't that long ago.
He's lying on the ground.
It was 2 years ago.
He's getting crushed by this giant vehicle, and the force of it pops one of his eyeballs out of his skull, and he's looking at it with his other eyeball. It's still intact.
It's incredible.
My eyes
so
are
lucky.
Crazy.
I mean, that 38, is insane.
38 broken bones.
I just don't know how you survive that.
He hit the power.
It's not like he's a big dude.
He's
a modern like
miracle.
Some Hulk or
like, that's
something.
A miracle he's tiny. Survived it.
Yeah. Well, it's the weight of the bobcat kind of pressing down on you six separate times.
Yeah.
So like you feel the force of it once, and then the wheel kind of depressurizes. Then all of a sudden, the next wheel.
Right.
Goes over you. I mean, six times.
It's brutal.
Mm.
Props to him for
surviving. I mean, he couldn't walk for 3 months after the accident. His doctors actually said the fact that he was very fit and healthy is why he probably survived it.
Yeah.
But he couldn't walk for 3 months, and then he started walking on a cane. And then the guy films an entire season of Mayor of Kingstown.
Yeah. Pretty remarkable.
So when he walks out, does he have a like terrible limp and everything?
It's not a terrible limp. You can tell he's got one if you kind of focus on it. But you can also see the damage in the face.
All right. Yeah. Well, Cakes, I don't know when you guys want to do it. You guys could tell me whenever. But I got some good stuff here, I think, on Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick.
All right. Maybe we can do that in the 9 o'clock hour. When we come back, though, we're going to pivot to the Commanders. Should they pursue a high-profile running back? He's been oft injured. His name is Nick Chubb. He's out on the market. Do you have interest in him if you're a Commanders fan to add him to the RB room here? 800-636-1067. We will discuss that next here on The Fan.